As we do every Sunday morning, if we could get there, we've got outlines for next week on the table or on the cabinet in the foyer. If I could get a couple of people to pass those out to everybody, please, we'd have those and be ready to go next week. I have noticed now, on next week, there's going to be two of them on there. There's going to be, we're going to do Habakkuk and also Zephaniah. So they're each three chapters long. That's six chapters all together. So that's not, that shouldn't be too much for anyone. We've changed the format on it just a little bit to hopefully make it easier and also to spur a little bit more discussion, we hope. I appreciate Brad's kind comments, and you know, he noticed when he came into the house Friday night that I had stuff scattered all over the desk in preparation for the lesson. He complimented me on that. Brenda noticed it too. I don't remember the compliment. Maybe she was saving it till later. I don't know. I will assume that. But anyway, all right, they're getting those passed out. My plans are this, that we will finish the study of the minor prophets on August the 12th. So that's about 5 weeks from now. We should have about five more weeks. We'll wind up the study there, and then the next on the 19th, then Brother Art Greer will begin teaching. And
ran out?
Okay, I will have some more by this evening. So if you're going to be back this evening, pick up one then. You know, last week I put out 60 and we had about 20 left. So this week I put out 50 and we just ran out. So we need to get this attendance straightened out here, okay? So anyway, but I will get some more printed this afternoon. Okay, there's a couple more here. Still missing some? Or did we just barely make it, okay? Well, I'll still put some more out there. Yeah. All right, everybody good? Okay, that's for next week. This week we're going to be looking at the minor prophet Micah. And again, I know we have visitors here, so remember, we are not doing an in-depth study. You could spend a quarter on the book of Micah. This is just a taste of it, just some of the things that are in the book of Micah and that we're going to pick up today. And hopefully, just in our mind, what I really hope is that it will spur enough interest in someone or all of us or most of us, that we'll actually go back and read the books and see what all, because we're just skimming. You know, we're not even the scratching the surface of the message of the minor prophets. Just a rough skim through just to give us an idea of what this is about. Micah's one of them. Now, as we said, Micah is fairly close to identifying the time that this was written because he mentions the king. The days of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. So because they can determine when these people ruled in Judah, then you can fairly well establish close to the time that this was written. Also, the northern kingdom fell, as we said here, Israel fell to Assyria in 722 B.C. Micah predicted that it would fall, so we can say it, okay, so probably after 750 B.C., prior to the fall of the northern kingdom to Assyria in 722. So sometime in that time frame is when the logical assumption is that Micah penned these words. All right, so as we look at this, now here's what you're going to notice. Micah is going to start out talking about the northern kingdom. But in the first chapter, down about verse 8, it's going to change. It's going to change. Now we're going to talk about Judah. We're going to talk about the southern tribes. And as we get down there, we're going to notice why. Now then, two or three things happen here. To validate Micah, if you'll read, I've got there Jeremiah 26:18. So this is certainly the prophet Jeremiah, who wrote the book of Jeremiah. He prophesied in Jeremiah and also Lamentations. Jeremiah 26:18, Micah of Amorsheth prophesied in the days of Hezekiah, king of Judah, and spoke to all the people of Judah, saying, Thus says the Lord of hosts, Zion shall be plowed like a field, Jerusalem shall become heaps of ruins, and the mountain of the temple like the bare hills of the forest. So here you have a prophet quoting and attributing that quote to Micah the prophet. So that just further validates that Micah existed, he was real, and even helps us to narrow down a little bit when he prophesied, because he said he prophesied in the days of Hezekiah the king. So that's helpful in saying, okay, when was this written? All right, now let's look at chapter 1. First of all, who is actually doing the speaking here? Is it Micah? Who is it? It's the Lord. It's the Lord. Micah is simply the mouthpiece. He's an instrument to get the words of God from his heavenly throne through Micah out to the people. So now then, God's wrath is going to be revealed. Look down here at verse 5. And this is for the transgression of Jacob and for the sins of the house of Israel. What is the transgression of Jacob? Is it not Samaria? And what are the high places of Judah? Are they not Jerusalem? Now here's what's happening. Recall, we've had several lessons about the northern kingdom, about the 10 tribes, how they had just absolutely gone away from God. In fact, they are about to be captured and destroyed by the Assyrians. And we've already talked about that. We've already talked about how that happened. That's going to happen. But now then, here's a problem. What they have done, the evil that they've done in forsaking God and instituting idol worship, it has now crossed the border. It is now, if you look at verse 8, and this is Micah's words. Now remember, Micah apparently is in Jerusalem. He's located there in the southern kingdom, in the two tribes that compose the southern kingdoms. Listen to what verse 8 says. Therefore I will wail and howl. I will go stripped and naked. I will make a wailing like jackals and a mourning like the ostriches. For her wounds are incurable, for it has come to Judah. Now he's talking about Samaria. He's talking about the northern kingdom. For its wounds are incurable. Who is that? And it has come to Judah. It has come to the gate of my people, to Jerusalem. So that's the problem. And that's what the rest of the book is basically is going to be about. He's warning Jerusalem. He's warning Judah. The influence of the northern kingdom is now present in the southern kingdom. And that is going to present a problem. And he's going to mention several things. Well, he's going to make some prophecies here about some things that are going to happen. All right. Loose connection there even to today. Is it possible that the Lord's people can be influenced by outside sources? You know, now here we have Samaria. Here we have the northern kingdom that apparently has now, their influence has crossed over, and they're influencing the southern kingdom, or Jerusalem, he says, even the city to the wrong. Is that possible today that could happen? Sure it is. Anybody have a specific? Where is it? Where is it, Jack? Okay, as Jack says, a little leaven will leaven the whole loaf, you know. So is the church today influenced by the culture and the age in which we live? Art. Okay. It's like Art says, sometimes we might see something that's a good idea, but you don't look down the road. What's the consequences going to be? You know? And apparently, now this is what Micah is really, the majority of Micah is going to deal with, Judah. As a matter of fact, you can almost hear it has come to the gate of my people, to Jerusalem. You know, like, what is Jerusalem? That's where God resides in his holy temple. That's where Solomon built the temple for God and everything. Jerusalem. It has even come from the northern kingdom. Evil influence is now into Jerusalem, and that's roughly what we're going to be talking about for the rest of the book of Micah. All right, and certainly application to us. Okay, we've got to watch what's influencing us, just as Samaria influenced Jerusalem. We have got to be careful about what influences us today. All right, now then. Verses 10 through 15 of chapter 1 there, instructions to the towns and cities. Now then, list at least 9 locations are listed here with instructions to prepare, however futile preparation may be. And read one of the commentators, he said, why list the 9 cities? To point out, this is not just Jerusalem. This is entire southern kingdom. These cities are dispersed throughout the kingdom. It's not just centrally located, but all around the kingdom. He said, beware, beware, beware. Right around Judah, it's going to happen here. Jerusalem being the focal point, but yet it's not just the city of Jerusalem. It's Judah. It's the southern kingdom. Okay. Basically, that's chapter 1. All right, now then, I thought something was interesting here in verse 16. What are the people instructed to do? Now, this is verse 16 in chapter 1. Make yourself bald and cut off your hair because of your precious children. Enlarge your baldness like an eagle, that they shall go away from me. They shall go from you into captivity. And supposedly this was a sign of mourning to the Jews, to cut their hair, to be bald. And it was a sign that I'm now in mourning. And so, according to what I've read, what Micah is telling people, go into mourning. You should be mourning. Why? Your children are going to be led away into captivity, which is another point we're going to get to in just a minute. Another thing that validates Micah as a prophet. All right, so if you look there, he's talked about Gath. He's talked about Beth Alpha. He's talking about Shafir, he's talking about Zanon, he's talking about Beth Ezel, all these places he's talked about, because he says it's not just Jerusalem, it's you too. All right, comments on that. All right, chapter 2, further demonstration. What do some do? Now, you can just visualize this. Somebody read chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, and just imagine an individual, what they're doing. Somebody read that for us, please. Chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Okay, whatever they're devising at night, they apparently have the power to do it when they wake up in the morning. What are they doing laying in bed at night? What are they doing? What are they thinking? Yeah, they're thinking to do what? Evil. All right, now then, I'm going to get up in the morning, what I'm going to do. You know what I thought of last night? Now I'm going to do it. Now then, if you look at that, they covet fields and take them by violence. So that shows they have the ability to do the evil that they've devised laying in bed at night. All right? And so there again, that's just, we're scratching the surface. Now this is what's going on in Jerusalem. There's some evil people there. God's people should not be evil. All right? So when you look at this, you say, okay, this is not what God would want them to do. So they oppress a man and his inheritance. Okay. Therefore, thus says the Lord, look there in verse 3, because against this family I am devising a disaster from which you cannot remove your necks. Now then, look at this. Back in verse 1, says, these men are devising iniquity. Now God says, now what am I doing? I'm devising disaster. And this is what he's going to start predicting. This is what's going to happen. All right. Now then, staying in chapter 2, look at verses 3 through 5. What can these people do to avoid this? Is there any escape from what God has devised for them? No, because they're going to refuse. God knows they're going to refuse to listen. So he is devising this escape, all right, or this punishment for them. All right, now then, verse 6 and 7. Boy, does this sound familiar. Somebody read chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. And let's talk about this and just see, is this familiar today? All right, somebody read verses 6 and 7. Chapter 2.
Could not preach, lest they preach. One should not preach of such
Okay. So what they're telling Micah, and then in the New King James, you're going to see the word prattle. And that just says to me, foolishness. So what they're saying, therefore you will have no one to determine boundaries by lot in the assembly of the Lord. Do not prattle, they say to those who prophesy. Prattle, what means what? Just for, you're talking foolish. Micah, you're talking foolishness. Quit it. All right? Don't preach that here. All right? So now that's the advice we're giving not only to Micah, but any prophet who is prophesying the truth. They're saying, don't do that here. Don't prattle. Don't preach that here. That's foolishness. However, the sign of a true prophet. What is the sign of a true prophet? Do you recall that? If I prophesy something, how do you determine whether or not I'm a true prophet? Does it come to pass? Does it happen? All right. So now then, we're going to look at some things from Micah here and see what he does prophesy. All right, now then, look at chapter 3 real quick, all right? Verses 1 through 4. Now here's the rulers. We're going to talk about the rulers here in a minute. Chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Hear, O now, O heads of Jacob. Now I'm talking to the rulers. And you rulers of the house of Israel, is it not for you to know justice? Don't you know justice? You who hate good and love evil. Now then, that's the rulers they've got. See, now then we've got people saying, don't preach this foolishness. Don't prophesy this foolishness. And now we're going to talk about the rulers. You know what? How about you rulers? Well, You love evil but hate the truth, you know. So that now that we're getting down to the problem that we have in Jerusalem at this time, or in Judah at this time. All right, now then, well, the rulers are cute, they hate good and evil. Graphic comparison of action by the rulers. Now then, look at verse 4, and let's talk about verse 4, chapter 3, just a minute. Is this possible today? Okay, somebody read verse 4, short verse, but look, there's something very important said there.
Then they will cry to the Lord, but he will not hear them. He will even have his face from them at that time because they have been evil in their deeds.
Is it possible that we can cry to the Lord and he will not hear us? All right, now isn't that a scary thought? Now think about this. Think about someone who has devoted their life to evil and has never changed, but yet to get in a perilous situation, and oftentimes what's the first thing they do? Oh, God, save me from this. And you wonder, is God going to listen to that? Have they done anything? Have they laid the foundation back here for God to listen to their prayers? Now then, listen to this. They will cry to the Lord, but he will not hear them. Now, that will be a wake-up call for a lot of people, probably for all of us, to ensure that I maintain that relationship with God, that he'll hear my prayers, that he will hear me when I call out. Okay, comments on that? Oh, yes. Jeremiah chapter 11, have you got that? Okay. Tom.
You ever heard the statement, there's no atheists in foxholes?
I've heard that. I don't know if you have you ever heard the statement, there are no atheists in foxholes. When the rounds are coming in, you won't find you just won't find atheists there because they're all going to be praying to God. I remember a story supposedly true. Supposedly someone said this back during the Vietnam War, and there was mortars coming in. They're on this particular base, and there's mortars coming in, and these two airmen dove under a truck. One of them came out, and he says, "You know, he's a better man than I am." And somebody said, "Well, why is that?" He said, "Because I was over there praying, Lord, save me." He was over there praying, Lord, save us. So anyway. Is it possible? I don't know if either one of these were Christian or not, but they were certain at that time. They were praying to God. All right? That's right. So anyway, but there's possible. God's not going to hear you. All right? So we move on there just a little bit. The rulers, they will cry to the Lord. He will not answer. Now then, let's leave the rulers alone and let's talk about the prophets a little bit. We know there are other prophets there. Prophets cry peace. Now then, under what condition, verses 5 through 8, under what conditions will the prophet cry peace? Give me something. Give me something. And I'll make some good prophecy here. You give me nothing? All right, let's look at what they say there. Thus says the Lord concerning the prophets, who make my people stray, who chant peace while they chew with their teeth. In other words, they got food to eat and everything. They're doing well. But who prepare war against him who puts nothing in their mouths. In other words, if you want a good prophecy from me, I expect something. You know, pay me. All right, now then. Now, these are probably the same prophets that are telling Micah, don't talk that foolishness down here. All right, so now here's the prophets. We've taken care of the rulers. The prophets are the same way. Now then, let's move down just a little bit. What does he say about the priest? All right. If you look at verses 9 through 12 there, what does he say about the priest? Do what?
They teach
for pay. Oh, sure. Yes, I will teach. Pay me, you know. I wonder what Micah's getting paid. I don't think Micah's getting paid anything, you know. But the priest, hey, I'll preach, but what I want? I want money. I want pay. Now then, here is, let's visualize what Micah's describing here. Now, and we're going to focus on Jerusalem. But apparently it's nationwide there in Judah. The rulers are evil, okay? And apparently those of power will take advantage of those of lesser power. They'll take what they want. That's the rulers. Now then, the prophets put something in my hand and you get a good prophecy, all right? Now then, and then the priest, yes, I will preach for money. All right, give me money and I will fulfill my role as a priest. You can see, can anyone fault God for being disgusted with this nation at this time? Look where they are. And what Micah has already said, well, where did this come from? How did this happen? It came out of Samaria. It came out of the northern kingdom. It crossed the border. And now then, by their actions, by their deeds, you have been influenced to follow after them. All right? Okay. That's roughly chapter 4, the main part of chapter 4. I mean, chapter 3. Let's look at chapter 4. Now, chapter 4, we're going to get a little ray of sunshine here. There is hope for the future. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days. Any time that a prophet, it seems like in the Old Testament, uses the term latter days, to what are they referring? Christianity, the Christian era to come. Christ, the Messiah to come. So the latter days, that's this. So now here's what it said. Now it shall come to pass when, Micah, in the latter days, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains, and they shall be exalted above the hills. People shall flow into it. Many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion, this is, folks, we're talking about Jerusalem. We're talking about the time of Christ. And specifically here, when he talks about for out of Zion the law shall go, we're talking about Pentecost. We're talking about Jesus leading up to Pentecost and then the apostles on the day of Pentecost proclaiming the gospel message. And now then, Micah is predicting this years before it happens, at least 700 years before it happened. He said, this is what's going to happen. All right? For the Lord of the word from Jerusalem, he shall judge between many peoples and rebuke strong nations afar off. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. We're talking about a spiritual kingdom here. We're not talking about the earthly secular kingdom because we know that's going to continue. We know the Roman Empire exists at the time of Christ. We know that they're eventually defeated. War continues even to this day. He's talking about a spiritual kingdom Christ's kingdoms where there should be no war, there should be peace among nations. Wherever we are, we should be at peace with our brothers and sisters, wherever they may be. All right. Comments on that? Now then, here's the question. Is that the way it is today? I see far too many times the answer is no. Okay? Far too many times the answer is no. That's what God desires. Okay? That's what God wanted. But is it always possible that peace exists among brothers and sisters? Okay? All right. All right, chapter 4. Let's move on down. Look at a couple more things here, and then we're going. We're kind of rushing through this since there's about 7 chapters here, and we're going to slip through it best we can. Oh, and we're doing it. Brother Greer is just pushing me to get through this. He wants to get up here so bad that he's saying, "Can you hurry up?" So I'm trying to hurry. All right, and he's back there saying my nose is growing. I don't know what that means, but anyway, no, he's not pushing me. All right, chapter 5, let's look at chapter 5, promise of a ruler and a remnant. You know, one thing about this book, I think the word remnant is mentioned about 6 times. Remnant, there's a remnant, all right? There's a remnant 6 different times. You know, even when they go into captivity, a remnant will return. All right. Even in Edom, we mentioned Edom going to be destroyed, but there's going to be a remnant. So there is going to be a remnant, being a small part, a small group, a small section of a whole. So a remnant is going to be restored. Anyway. In verse 2, the ruler will come out of Bethlehem. Listen to that. Chapter 5, verse 2. The ruler will come out of Bethlehem. Wow, what could he be talking about? And remember, this is some 700 and... Well, if it was written about 725 B.C., maybe this is 725 years before the birth of Christ, add another 30 years till he entered his ministry. So look at the time. Who's he talking about? A ruler's going to come out of Bethlehem? Get serious. Bethlehem's a little bitty town up here. Who could he be talking about? Christ. All right. Now then, here we have further clarification on the authenticity of him as a minor prophet. Jeremiah has quoted him. All right. Now then, we get down to where he is saying the ruler is going to come out of Bethlehem. All right, and that proved accurate. So now that we got more proof that that this man is a prophet. Now then, let me. I want to back up here just a little bit. I want to back up to about chapter 4. I missed something here, which is very important. All I got to do is find it now. He prophesies, he prophesies in here about the Jerusalem being captured by Babylon. And this is some 100 years before it actually happens, all right? So he's quoted by Jeremiah. He talks about the ruler coming out of Bethlehem, and also says Babylon is going to be the one. Wait a minute now. When he prophesies Babylon, don't you realize, Micah, that Assyria is the power right now? It's not Babylon. It's not the Chaldeans. It's Assyria. It's Nineveh. That's where the power is. And you're saying that Babylon is going to... Can't happen that way. It does, you know. Again, because Assyria is going to fall. Babylon, the Chaldeans, is going to be the power. So he prophesies that in this book, but also he says there in chapter 5, a remnant is going to be saved. Okay? Now then, as we move on, just a little bit longer here, chapter 6, God speaks. Now, I like this. We need to look at chapter 6 just a little bit longer. Now hear what the Lord says. All right? Now then, now this is God. We know that all the words are of God, but now here's God's. Now hear what God says, what the Lord says. Arise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, O you mountains, the Lord's complaint, and you strong foundation of earth, for the Lord has a complaint against his people, and he will contend with Israel. Now then, listen to what the Lord says. O my people, what have I done to you? You know, you can almost hear God talking to his people. What have I done to you? You know, and then he wants to remind them, how have I wearied you? Testify against me. What have I done to you? How have I wearied you? Can't you almost hear him talking to people today? What have I done to you? You know, how are you where you are now? How have I wearied you? For I brought you up out of the land of Egypt. Let's remind you of that. I redeemed you from the house of bondage. I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. Oh, my people, remember now what Balak, king of Moab, counseled, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him. You and Balak wanted Balaam to come and cast a curse on the children of Israel because I'm afraid of them. And he said, no, God's going to bless them. He said, don't you people remember that? From Achaia Grove to Gilgal. Now then, Achaia Grove is located on the eastern side of the River Jordan. That's Achaia Grove. Now, Gilgal is located on the western side of the River Jordan. What was located on the western side of the River Jordan? The Promised Land. Okay? God said, don't you remember that I got you from Achaia Grove over across the river to Gilgal? I got you over to the Promised Land. As a matter of fact, if you read the account of that, it seems like when that they basically walked across on dry land, and as quick as a priest got across with the Ark of Covenant, then the river closed back up. All right? So he said, don't you remember? Look what I've done for you. Don't you remember that? And with what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offering, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Now then, probably the most quoted verse out of this is verse 8 of chapter 6. Somebody read that for us and see if this is not familiar, and see if it's not so clear what he's saying here. Somebody read verse 8, chapter 6. You want the answer? There it is, folks. There it is. What does God require of you? Do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. That's it. You know, if you want to know what pleases God, he just told you. All right? Just as it applied to the people there, it applies to us today. What? What applies to us today? Do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with my God. All right, what a verse. And like I say, probably the most familiar verse out of the book of Micah is that one there. All right, now then, let's remember a couple of weeks I let you out about 2 or 3 minutes early. I'm going to make up for it today. All right, despair in Judah, woe is me, and reasons for such woe. Harvesters were to leave corn. You know, Judah has just now gone totally away from God. Even you remember God commanded that when you're harvesting your field, leave some for the gleaners. Remember the story of Ruth and how she would go in and the gleaners would go in and pick up. There was things left for them. But now in Judah today, clean that sucker, clean, you know. Don't leave anything for the poor. And God said, that's not what I've commanded all along. That's part of people are evil and cannot be trusted. However, verse 7 of chapter 7, Micah's trust is in the God. Now, if you look at verse 8, chapter 7, a better day is going to come. Do not rejoice over my enemy. When I fall, I will arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him. Until he pleads my case and executes justice for me, He will bring me forth to the light. Better day's coming. Better day is coming. And that is Micah. Real rough, real hurried review of Micah. I did something here, if I can find my clicker here. This is basically where we are, okay? Minor prophets. These are the ones we've studied. Hosea, we're talking about charging against the northern kingdom. We have talked about Joel, additional warnings to Israel. Recall this, this is the one where he pictured the locusts coming in, devouring everything. Amos, prophecy concerning nations surrounding. This is where we said God not only controls his people, but the nations around there, and they're condemned. Obadiah, destruction of Edom. Jonah, sent to Nineveh. Micah, we've talked today, warning that. Now then, we're going to quit talking about the northern kingdom because their destruction is assured. They're almost history by now. Our concentration now is upon Judah, the southern kingdom, warning to Judah. And then Nahum, the destruction of Nineveh prophesied. So that's where we are so far. Next week, we're going to do both Habakkuk and Zephaniah. And if you've not got a handout, get one. Answer the questions. I mean, how easy can it be? I even put the verse there where you find the answers, okay? You don't even have to look for it. Just go to that verse, and there's the answer. And that'll give us things to talk about next week. We will be dismissed at this time. And you still owe me the 3 minutes. I didn't take it today. All right. We'll be dismissed. Thank you.